are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com, and I am your host, Brother Oshi. Peace, family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, I know you'll get it done, because that's the kind of brother and sister you is. Always. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Make it happen. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives, and that is timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed. Click on that, and all the programs that will be available to you are dated and titled African Perspectives. Other programs here on the Time for Awakening Media, after my program on Monday evening, all times I'm going to give it, Eastern Times, is Acres of Diamonds. Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia from 6 p.m. to 8. Then Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, this evening, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10. And on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore is from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Saturday Sports Talk. And then on Sunday, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., I know it ain't me. It is our good sister, POC, Proof of Consciousness, and her program, Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832, where you can give us your questions, comments, or concerns, or just give us your African perspective. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. You can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. If you're in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. They're selling detergent that's produced by us, toothpaste, toothbrushes, razors, batteries, all kinds of good stuff, deodorant. Oh, man, check them out. In fact, go online to WeBuyBlack.com and see what's happening. Africa for the Africans, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Our good brother, Brother Tayhimbe, Brother Bomani Tayhimbe, and he just came back last month from a tour in Africa with a good group, about 40 people. But he's going to have a big one in May of next year. And you want to be a part of that. It's very affordable, particularly if you have a chance to save each month. So check out Africa for the Africans. And if you want to check out some of the photos, go to facebook.com/Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I. If you want to check out some video, go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007. books. We got books we need to read, y'all. we need to read. That's it. Our problem is we need to develop the consciousness that we need to have, and one of the ways to do it is to read. And, of course, if you don't want to read because you can't read and you feel you're more visual, then go to YouTube and let the ancestors speak. But books, Shrine of the Black Madonna here in the Atlanta area, in the West End area of Atlanta. At the shrine, not only do they have books, they have furniture, they have clothing, they have artwork, they have everything you need. There's a museum, all kinds of good stuff from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Also, too, at the shrine, they have a book club, and they have a class, Black History classes, Know Thyself classes, every Saturday, free and open to the public from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 Eastern Time at the shrine. The number to call for those classes are 404-444-6996, 404-444-6696, and Brother Olutunji does an outstanding job. But also, too, the Black History Club presents the Black History Multimedia Library, a digital resource of over 100,000 files on the history of our people, over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books. All of that is yours, and for about $100. But you're going to need a lot of space, because I think they said currently it holds about 4.5 terabytes of enlightenment. And I have an external hard drive. It's only 2 terabytes, so I got to get another one because I'm going to get that. I need it. Books. Other bookstores are the Meadow Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. And, of course, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. Number to call is Brother Ajamu, 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. And let me just backtrack just for a second here, because Kwanzaa is happening at the shrine starting on the 26th, on the first day of Kwanzaa, Umoja. And then on the 27th is the day that myself and members of the ASCAC and the WADU and other organizations deal with self-determination, because it is Kujichagulia. And so it's at 7 o'clock. The doors open at 6, so you can come in and shop with the vendors. The vendors were told to become, to make sure they're there by 5 o'clock, to make sure they're set up. We have a great Kwanzaa program for you on Kujichagulia on the 7th. And then on the 29th, at the Black Dot Cultural Center, I will be hosting Kwanzaa at the Black Dot. And the guest speaker is Mwalimu Baruti, Baba Baruti. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a great Kwanzaa celebration and other activities happening. I'm going to do a thing maybe by Friday, definitely by Monday, of other Kwanzas that are happening in the places that I know. So the other is ULU, Us Lifting Us. ULU, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, Family-Centered Economics. Their broadcast is this tomorrow night, Thursday night, 9 p.m. The number to call to check out the broadcast is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, 9 p.m. tomorrow, Us Lifting Us. We pulled our monies together because it is a cooperative, and we created Cafe ULU here in Atlanta. Cafe is located 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza, 2036 Sylvan Road. And our hours are Monday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we sell coffee. That's right. In fact, I took some Kenyan coffee to the sister in the West End, a beautiful shop they have, Afrocentric, at Afrocentric, located on Lee Street here in the West End, Abernathy and Lee. It is a great place. Believe me, beautiful, beautiful fabrics and all kinds of good stuff there that she has, even artwork. And so because we had Kenyan coffee at the cafe, and she's from Kenya, so I gave her that coffee. She was happy to receive it. But we have Kenyan, Tanzanian, Cameroon, Ethiopia. We have coffee. We also have coffee from Nicaragua, Panama, Brazil, and so forth. We have coffee. We also have loose teas. And everything that is at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. So go online, check out usliftingus.com and cafeulu.com, CAFEULU.com. Also, too, we have a vitality drink at Cafe Ulu. I'm going to break it down, not today, but real soon. Ambrosia, the drink of the gods, produced by my good brother, Brother Novak Young. And it is a very spirited drink. It's a vitality drink. All drinks contain alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus and ginger, cinnamon, aloe vera, and spirulina. So check that out. Our daily revolutionary thoughts from the Inye Sesim, the book Inye Sesim, produced by Baba Baruti. I'm going to read, today is the 19th. I'm going to read yesterday's and today's, because yesterday's is very good. I often do that. I read them sometimes both because they're just good information. Speak the truth to the people. To identify the enemy is to free the mind. Free the mind of the people. Speak to the mind of the people. Speak truth. Mari Evans. No matter how economically or socially distanced the European elite are from the disposed Caucasian masses, they are one. The European elite still share a joint supremacist, exploitive, dominative, nationalist agenda with the European masses. They form one genocultural nation. Europeans who have the Caucasian masses as their constituency cannot totally risk alienating them in a game of racial politics, because if they know nothing else, they know that in a political economic system grounded in European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, the European masses' loyalty is first and foremost to their Caucasianness, their Europeanness, their whiteness. Unless the European elites can make the non-European masses equally blindly loyal to them, they cannot take the chance of blatantly forsaking their own for others. This is especially true if those causes remained undermine the European masses' survival. They are of the same mind, is most evident in the fact that any disposed Europeans would gladly assume the position vacated by a dead or dismissed elite without skipping a racist beat. Whether disposed or elite, race precedes class in the European mind. Let me say that again. Whether disposed or elite, race precedes class in the European mind. Class antagonisms do not negate nationalism bound by race culture. Of this, we should remain cognizant, no matter how doggedly racist, Marxist, and liberal European works to convince us that we're in the same class with them. Ha! Affirmed, I speak truth to the mind of the people. Affirm, I speak truth. I speak to the mind of my people. December 19th. The one who is nearest the enemy in pursuit is the real leader, a Ghanaian proverb. Often, it is difficult to tell the real from fake among the voices clamoring to speak for us. Those infected with Negroitis, Urugu virus or whiteitis, a psychological sickness within Africans contracted in burning desire to mimic Europeans and obliterate all that is African within them, is involuntarily applauded the likes of Henry Louis Gates, Cornel West, Tavis Smiley, and Michael Eric Dyson, as the foremost and most visible African intellectuals, even never having read or thought about the implications of what these elite Negroes have said. All they need to know is that they totally advocate sub-integrationists, interracialist agenda. They know that Europeans approve of them as evidence of their privileges awarded them, which is ample evidence of their leadership. However, for those who have learned to rely on our intuition and the knowledge of we have already acquired from the works and lectures of serious African-centered thinkers, those who truly speak for us, are easily to identify. For knowing is not a difficult task. Nevertheless, to those in search of our true intellectual leadership, most often one of the best indicators of whether an African scholar is or is not in our corner is the degree to which he or she is under attack, sacrifices all to remain in that battle, and has to struggle against Europeans and Negroes to speak our truth. Affirm, I am nearest the enemy in pursuit. Affirm, I am nearest the enemy in pursuit. From Baba Mwalimu Burundi's A Calendar of Revolutionary Daily Thoughts, in Yese Sim. Good morning, family. This is Wednesday, and usually on Wednesday I have Brother Franklin Jones. He will not be with us today, but I have a guest. I have Brother Dr. Randy Short. Dr. Short, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for such an inspirational setup. My.
Yeah, I know. Well, I appreciate you hanging on, man.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It's wonderful to be with you again. And it's an honor to be in the footsteps and footprints of all the great that you've had on your program.
Well, I appreciate that, dear brother. I know the last time we were on, we were talking about what I just read about those Negropeans, those ones who are afflicted with the Urugu virus, you know, suffer from whiteitis.
That's the term I'm trying to get around, Urugu lovers.
Yeah.
I'm a Southern, but they have a word, and it's the N-word lovers. I said, well, we need a word, Urugu lovers.
Right on. Exactly.
You exactly. Like that?
I love it. Yes.
I knew you would.
You know. And I know we pointed out some various individuals that you knew specifically who are cooning to the nth degree. I know that is a serious problem that we do have because these individuals are the buffers. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who stymie and or who are the gatekeepers and who will do whatever they can.
That's right.
To make sure that Caucasians maintain and sustain the privilege that they created for themselves at our expense. So we always need
That's
to
right.
point these individuals out. But today we're going to talk about the Equality Act.
Oh, no, don't call it that. The Pedophile Amnesty Act, or PedoCare. We need to name it what we call it. We need to call it what it is. Mm-hmm. Speak truth, the no more concept. Now we're going to get Afrocentric. We need to speak the truth, the no more, the word. This is for pedophilia. As gay folks already have laws in the books in the states, it's already under existing law.
Yeah.
This is for pedophiles. This is for us people in the necrophilia. These are people under caprophagia. That's people who need to eat human waste to have a good time.
Oh, man.
They want civil rights protection. They want to be considered a minority like Maria Stewart or Rosa Parks or Medgar Evers or Henrietta Moore, the ones that blew up in Florida in 1951, Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make perversion a minority group with the rights our people died for. Now, our rights from God are immutable. But in as much as we live with people who hate our guts existentially, we need a little extra. In fact, that's not enough. But they want to take the laws that were written niggardly by a bunch of racists and folks who didn't think they were racist. The little bit they're going to do to halfway deal with without reparations, they're going to take that and literally form it into a sex toy to advance their agenda.
I know that in reading the article, on the surface, I would agree that nobody should be discriminated against. Although, let me say this. I really, my contention is as a Pan-Africanist, as a cultural nationalist, as somebody who believes in self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people, you know, This ain't a battle for me, personally, for sure, but culturally, you know, because I believe that whatever sexual orientation you have is not an issue in the African-centered movement. You know, we ain't talking about planks. We ain't talking about a separate agenda. The bottom line is African liberation, African self-determination, African sovereignty. Outside of that, there's no other discussion. So if there's an issue that you have about your sexuality, you keep that shit to yourself. That's a personal thing between you. Because let me say this, Doc. I've always had this adage that what consenting adults do in the privacy of their own home is their business. And I put emphasis on consenting because, if you're not able to consent, then you're wrong. Whether you're not, and it's not just by age. Because, since we talked about this, I came across a piece where homosexuals are encouraging people with Down syndrome, trying to make them gay, dressing them up in women's clothing, young men in women's clothing who have Down syndrome, having them parade around, you know, because people who have mental challenges are very welcoming and giving people, you know. It reminded me, Doc, of that situation in, I think it was Idaho, of the football team. They had this one brother who was on the team, but he was also like a manager. And he had mental deficiency. You know, I don't know what you want to call it, but anyway. So one Caucasian opened his arms up as if he wanted him to hug him. And the brother did that. He came to him to hug him, and then they raped him. They violated him. They stuck a broomstick up his rectum. And them crackers got nothing. Those crackers got a damn thing.
That's correct. I'm familiar with the case. But what's more damning to me is that there wasn't greater outrage that this happened. And what's problematic for me is that there's folks like you and I, we're angry about this stuff all the time and other states. But yet this is that people immediately in that community that haven't done anything. And I don't think we're that numb. Again, I have to praise you and everybody else like you, because what pretends to be news and information from the root and other people are celebrities and other salacious garbage, right?
Right.
They're addressing any of the issues. And, you know, it's not black media, but it has black front men and women who pretend or act as if they are dealing with our issues, and they're not. Mm-hmm. They're there putting us on. They're either promoting the gay agenda or they're promoting celebrity, the cultures of celebrity. And many of them are, again, LGBTQ all over again.
Mm-hmm.
We keep saying story as if there's not enough homosexuality in our community. We have plenty of it. Why does it have to be promoted and nurtured? They're not doing it for schools. They're closing our schools. They're closing our hospitals. Churches are even closing. All kinds of black business closing.
Mm-hmm.
But only this. And so what you'll see is that they're promoting only filth because there is a plan to kill us off. And to kill us off, you know, they talk about the Hawaiians and how they got Hawaii, but they won't tell you that they went over there and promoted that LGBTQ in Hawaii. It was already there, but they took it to another level when the white folk came in. And those diseases allowed those people to take their land.
Mm.
Okay? The population got off. Now imagine something. If they're promoting all this stuff, there are allegations, I don't know if it's true, that one out of two people that are black and same-sex attracted have HIV AIDS, that they're male in Atlanta. But whatever the number is, the amount, it's too much. But who can't afford medical care? And if they can't afford it, won't get fair treatment when they do go to see a doctor. So if you've got people doing all kinds of unhealthy, dangerous things, what will the consequence be other than mass death? It can only be that.
Mm-hmm.
It can only be that. And so, you know, I don't mind who don't like me. And by the way, did I say take rights from anyone, Doc? Did I say beat up someone or call someone names or harass them on the job?
No.
You don't hear me talk about it. But you know what? The more compassionate in which you are and you criticize that, the more they try to find something to say about you, because they don't mind if you come out of a hate bag. They like that, a violence bag, an intolerance bag. Because then they go, oh, well, you just, he's pathological.
Sure.
He's got a problem.
Yeah, he's over, right, he's over emotional. Right.
Then they've got to have something. And the reason they have to have something is they've got nothing. I'm not married. I don't have children. But I still love women and children. I love black men. But they're not black women. You understand what I'm saying? And I see a lot of healthy people in our community who have issues where we don't like this. Now, we need to understand something's going on. And we seem to forget this, that when our people are brought over, those that were brought over, some were already here, what kind of people do you think, what kind of character or morality would someone have to work in a slave castle? Or a slave ship, other than the most depraved, debased, debauched, nastiest people who ever lived? If most of the people that they put on boats were male, and you're on a boat for months at a time with no women, what do you think and who do you think were torturing and abusing black men? That's right. We don't talk this way. Homosexuals, the same way in South Africa, the white homosexuals fought to be in the police departments and in the prisons and to work in the mines. You know, you see the picture of the men with their arms raised and the man is digging all in their rectum and in their genitalia area. Only a pervert could go to work like that for years every day and enjoy their job. So what I'm saying to you is part of dominating black people has been homosexualizing black people. And yet these same people turn around and come back and say, they're the ones who are oppressed. And they're the ones who don't have any rights. And they're the ones who've been mistreated. And they are the new black. Really?
Mm.
If you read the law, if you read that law, and you saw the way they said how gays were discriminated against, how they don't have any housing, they don't have food, they don't have anything. Then you see that and say, well, what community is that bad?
Mm-hmm.
And you read it and say, they can't get credit. They can't get jobs. They can't get businesses. They're the police are killing them everywhere. Whose community does that most describe? Don't tell me white guys on Montrose who've got poodles and sports cars. That's bullcrap.
Yeah.
We're the ones. So they've literally come with another case of attribution theft.
Mm-hmm.
And took our suffering, claimed it was them, and demand special rights. I mean, if you read that, they want guarantees of gay juries. The jury got to be gay.
Right.
Mind you, in this country, they've outlawed the policy where you can have an all-white jury when you're black now. How can they be like us when they have more rights and privileges than we do?
But see, that's the thing to me. What is the identifier? Because, you know, when you're a homosexual, there are men. I never forget, I went with a club because, you know, I live in Atlanta. And Atlanta is the American African gay capital. And I went to a club with a friend of mine, and she pointed some things out to me, that this club was a meeting place for homosexual men. But these men, they weren't, you know, flamboyant with boas and, you know, lipstick on and all this. These were just some regular looking brothers. But they were leaving out with other regular looking brothers. This is that so-called down low piece that people talk about, you know. And so there are men who are in the society, who function as men in society, but yet sleep with other men. And some of them are married. That's why AIDS, the largest group of individuals contracting AIDS were American African women because of the down low spectrum. You know, these men were, they might have been married to them, but yet these men were having sex outside their marriage with other men and then having sex with the wife, and now she has AIDS.
Right.
You know.
Well, and there's one more piece to that we're going to have to be honest about, because I don't like a non-binary conversation on this, because there are a huge number of women that get HIV that are lesbians, and suicide and all this stuff. This contributes to it as well. And so we've got a reckless, aggressive, gay female black population that gets a pass because we don't believe in holding people equally accountable regardless of their sex. I do. I don't care how unpopular it is. All right? There are women out there doing this too. And all this HIV isn't just down low. Some of this has a lot to do with a lot of our sisters who aren't being queens and aren't trying to be. And there's a consequence. And there's a consequence to being a gay woman, just like there is a consequence, a health consequence, to being a gay man. And I'm sick and tired of people pretending, oh, well, lesbianism is pure and wonderful. It has no problems. Okay, and that's for all the men that figure that's some OPP for them. Because a whole lot of those women go back and forth and ping and pong back and forth between, depending on, you know, I'm angry at black men this week, well, I'm gay. Oh, a black man was nice and he gave me some flowers. I'm straight this week. We talk about it. It is outrageous, and it's time for us to talk about this and talk about everything from the folks pimping their children out to folks for their drug habits and other stuff. That's mama. That's not daddy. He's in lockup. He's in Rikers. He's in the hole in some supermax prison. Who let this happen to the kiddies? I know you want to say black men because America doesn't have a problem attacking men at every corner. Sometimes we should be, but it has a problem doing that because part of white supremacy pitting black men against black women is, well, your homosexuality is evil, but their homosexuality is good. Maybe it's all problematic to some degree. That would be fair. All promiscuity is problematic. I don't care what kind. You're just banging everywhere with all these diseases out here. You are putting your life and others at risk. Are you hearing me? And if that sounds like, ooh, that's so homophobic, you hate that one. Really? I'm amazed at how juvenile people are. I mean, you can do all this adult stuff, but when we start talking about accountability and risk and losses and lives that can be harmed, all of a sudden, nobody wants to hear what anyone has to say. Are you hearing me?
Oh, I'm here. Oh, yeah. I'm hoping that our listeners are hearing.
And you know, I hope the listeners can. No, I didn't say anybody's worse than anybody else, but I'm saying, my God, if these diseases kill, and they do, if they're dangerous, if they were invented to kill people, and some of them were, and there's activity that you are involved in that could lead to you contracting something invented, a lab or otherwise, why are you doing it? And why are they celebrating it? And why are they promoting and pitching? You don't hear them talking about healthy eating habits. No, they get snack food industry money. You don't hear them talking about anything that we need. So they're pushing this death style as a means to destroy people. And they are using, I've watched them celebrate and praise. Oh, he's such a role model. They would never say that of Malcolm X or Walter Williams or Nanny, you know, they would never say that about this woman, Nanny Helen Burroughs. They would never call these people role model, but they're picking this community.
Yeah, and it's, which was odd, and not even saying it odd because I don't understand the society, but it was praise of individuals who openly said, I'm homosexual, from Barack Obama praising them,
And Michelle Obama.
And Michelle Obama praising them and others praising them, saying this.
Don't give her a pass.
No, I'm not. I don't give. To me, the Negroocracy gets no pass. They must be exposed for who and what they are, because they're the ones that continue to be that buffer, as I mentioned earlier, and continue to cause a seeds of discord and confusion within our community. In service to Caucasians. So no, none of them get a pass. And what they were doing at that time was legitimizing. We know that European culture, how it developed, is a culture of excess. Because of the development in a very harsh and cold and ungiving environment, makes one selfish and greedy and sexist and excessive, and because of that development in that culture, that's what they are. And because women, unlike an African culture where women and men have a symbiotic relationship, there is a complementarity there. It wasn't that way with Europeans. That's why when they came down and looked at us, they were wondering how women had such status and women had such place. In fact, when you look at ancient African medunetra, or what the Greeks call hieroglyphs, you see men and women. When you see artwork, when you see statues, you see men and women. But if you go to Greece, you can see statues of men with young boys.
Mm-hmm.
Naked.
Naked,
yes.
Because say all of it, don't fix it. Naked men with naked little boys.
Yes. You can see that. That's why, to me, we should never use the word mentor when we're talking about working with our young men or young people, because mentor is the dude that Odysseus gave his son to while he went on his odyssey. And mentor was having sex with his son. That's mentor. Okay? That's why we should use the African word jegna. We should never use that word. And people always say words have power. And I agree that they do. But to me, we don't understand that, really. We say that. We say it, but we don't really understand it. Because, number one, we keep saying the same damn thing. If words have power, and I believe that they do, and I will always, on this program, try to use the correct verbiage, the correct word. So when you hear the word, you get the visualization. That's why I use African. I don't use black. I use African. That's why I don't say we're slaves, because we were not slaves. We were captives. If all of us begin to say, no, we don't damn slaves. We were captives. Well, who captured us? Europeans. Well, then they owe us. Because a slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never submitted. We always resisted. But now, since they're imposing these concepts on us, many of our people who've accepted them, and I tell you, Doc, it's hard to really have a conversation in this society as it relates to homosexuality, because it's so prevalent. And then you don't want to come off as being, quote, what? Homophobic,
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
What does homophobic mean?
You have a fear of homosexuals,
Well, not a fear. Maybe you're afraid of syphilis or AIDS. Maybe you're afraid of that. Couldn't that be a legitimate thing? No, fear of homosexuality. I don't think that people fear homosexuality. I think people don't like being betrayed. I think people don't like big bait and switch. If I'm friends to you because I'm your buddy, it's not because you're trying to, get something off of me. Is that what all this is about? You worked all these years to get to know me to really undermine my manhood for that purpose? Wouldn't that be offensive to you if I was friends to you? What I really wanted was to have intercourse with you in a vile way. Everything was really about me doing something other than what I told you. That is something to not admire. Right? That's
yeah.
Something that's legit. See, the psychology of that term, I don't like it. Because I did the Roland Martin show, and I told someone, my father was a man. I wasn't afraid of him, okay, because homophobic means you're afraid of all men. Frankly, homo doesn't say just gays. They manipulate a term and then make it mean what they want it to.
Right.
I'm not afraid of men. I'm not afraid of even folks of same sex attractiveness. My issue is I'm concerned about people not respecting my rights, my position, right? My culture, my values, doesn't that matter? Right, if there's someone who aims to, as this pedophile amnesty bill aims to, it aims to violate people's conventions.
Now you're saying that, Doc, and like I said, I read the article. I really haven't read the bill. You know, and I'm quite sure there's nothing in that bill that speaks openly, you know, directly to pedophilia, because that wouldn't happen. They would never pass a bill that speaks directly to pedophilia. There may be some inference, but there's nothing directly saying that this is a bill that's going to make it possible for us men to have sex with young people, young men and young women, you know, 7, 8 years old, even younger, let alone somebody who is, I mean, I don't know. To me, when I said what I said earlier about what I believe in terms of you know, sex, excuse me, whatever consenting adults do is their business, putting emphasis on consenting and adults. Because even if a child, to me, if it's 17 or younger, they can't consent. That's how I feel that way. I know
that's the law. It's beyond feeling. It's law. And in reality, why is it such that you have to be a certain age to buy a pack of cigarettes or liquor,
right,
or even go into the military,
right,
but you want folks to have sex when they're 2 and 3 years old? That's interesting to me. You don't want them to vote at that age.
Right.
So, look, the bill implies – how you doing, Ken? The bill implies – if you read the first line, it says that the bill has been written to fight sexual discrimination based on sexuality, sexual identity, gender orientation, and then there's a comma, and for other purposes. That's the first line of the bill. Now, almost 200 people are going to sponsor this bill, and it doesn't even explain what are the other purposes. You understand sexuality, sexual identity, gender orientation, which, by the way, they don't even define that. Because as they're moving this bill that they're probably going to vote on as early as next month, there's a thing called MAP, Minor Attracted Person. That's the new word for pedophilia, which they consider a cuss word. I'm okay. Not a pedophile. I'm a minor attracted person.
Okay,
and
so
in fact, I'm a verb head.
So
I'm a verb head, which means I'm a virtuous pedophile. I would never act on my desire to have sex with young people. This is a kind of insanity that's working as right in the next city in Baltimore. The same people that said that there was no mental challenges at all in homosexuality are working to make pedophilia normal. If they got that bill through, okay, and understand, they don't tell you what gender orientation means. That's not explained in the first line that you read, or gender identity. What if my identity is a minor attracted person? If that law passes, they'd be able to go to court and say, I'm a minor attracted person, and I have rights because the Congress and the Senate and the president signed it, gave it to them. They don't have to say what it is. Yerugals lie. Don't you think gay Yerugal would lie?
Yeah.
Why do they have to tell people the truth? You know, a lot of black folk disgust me. They don't say, we're going to come into the city and take all your houses. They say, we're going to have what? Renewal, urban renewal, right? Or we say, we're going to increase the tax base. They say one thing and it means something else. When you put in all those phrases referring to sex in that bill, the first line in it, then you say, and for other purposes, why wouldn't they tell us? They wouldn't even tell us what gender identity is. They won't tell you which sexual orientations would this cover, right? They deliberately made it ambiguous. So we need to be the adults in the room and call out what it is that they won't say. It's pedophilia. And the gay movement, now you'll see LGBTQIAP. The P is for pedophilia, my brother. The P is for pedophilia. They attach themselves to the movement. Why do I have to take them out? You know why? Because there's a cowardice in people where we follow their political correctness. Well, we don't have sex with children. Oh, really? You would just tell me about the mentor and the pedastry, and the very term pedo comes from pedastry, where the men had sex with younger boys, right?
Right.
That's the origin of this whole term. They claim they come from the Greeks and all that, but you can cherry pick what it means because you need to bamboozle or get people who are intellectually lazy, or they get grossed out when you hear the subject. You can't talk to them because they get so squeamish. I don't want to hear about this, right? Well, you'll wake up one day and they're taking your children, and they're even people for all the old black folks. There's now a thing where folks, they're called in South Africa, granny grabbers, folks that like doing it to old people. Yes, they've had this for years in South Africa, and you got cougars here.
See,
you got folks who like older people. This kind of stuff that they're going to whip out, when they talk about gender orientation, they have a saying that there are 218 gender identities.
Come on.
Yes, that's right. That's what they're saying. And so which of those 218, trust me, one of them is going to be a pedophile. There's just two. How many different variations of sex can somebody have before you get down to kids? You've done men, women, same sex, bisex, animals.
You know, sexual perversion should never be legalized. Please.
But that's what the bill is about. This is what your congressman and congresswoman, every single solitary black Democrat in the
House, with the exception
of Marsha Fudge, support perversion being legalized, and it opens the door for reverse, or what I call perverse discrimination, as well as eliminating your religious right to say, hey, look, I don't agree with this. You can't even say no to it if they get their way. Your God, your belief, your faith, your Afrocentric, your arc, you're told them none of that can tell these people no.
Here's what this act says as part of it here. The Equality Act was first introduced in 1974 and then again in 2015. Previously, it failed to make it through the House Committee on the Judiciary. But now it's back, and with unprecedented levels of political, public, and corporate support, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders are among some of the political big hitters who have voiced their support. It's latest reintroduced with 243 co-sponsors, more congressional support than any other LGBTQ legislation in American history. More importantly, the American people believe in the bill. The nonpartisan Public Religion Research Institute conducted a groundbreaking survey across every U.S. state. It's 42,000 interviews covered all areas of political spectrum. It not only found that the national support for the bill, like the Equality Act, was more than 70%, but proved...
I don't believe that, but keep going.
But proved that the majority of Democrats, Independents, and Republicans support it. Perhaps most impressively, it showed that the bill of this nature would have majority support in every single state. Furthermore, there is unparalleled corporate support for the act. Over 90 major companies, including the giants like Facebook, Google, Nike, Apple, have joined together to form the Business Coalition for the Equality Act. Together, the group employs more than 5.8 million people in the U.S. and brings in over $2.6 trillion in revenue. We know you're all thinking, with unrivaled political, public, and corporate support for full federal equality, then what are we waiting for? Surprise, surprise, it's Congress. There are still powerful figures pushing back against the bill, and we need to build a coalition of LGBTQ support to guarantee that it passes. When the LGBT community has made real progress, there can be no rest until clear and equal protections are permanently enshrined in the civil rights law. Discrimination, uncertainty, and fear play an all too familiar role in the lives of LGBT citizens. It's time for that to change. The Equality Act is a fantastic piece of legislation that will provide constant, permanent protections from discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. To ensure that it does not die again, the bill needs meaningful support. That's why we're working hard to elect more LGBTQ candidates to Congress, and we need your help.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says.
That's what it says. Look, let me share this with you. People wonder, first and foremost, all of us right now live under laws that were shaped by a pedophile who systematically had hundreds, if not thousands, of children raped and molested. His name is Alfred Kinsey. All the laws that get pedophiles out of jail after a year or two, those laws were shaped by Kinsey lobbying the country in the 1950s and 60s. Saying that pedophilia was not a real problem and that there were just a few people who'd be victimized when most pedophiles have up to 300 victims. Huh? All of the pseudoscience that Kinsey put together is the basis of our sex laws in this country. And everybody knows and they don't do anything about it. These people didn't really do a poll because if folks found out what they really wanted, people would object. You're not hearing much about this bill.
No, you're right.
They're going to get this early in the year because if folks knew, people would rise up against it. So they're lying, and they don't tell the truth. And they may have the support from the Congress and the other people because money talks. Huh?
Doc, you're right. Money talks because to me, racism is real. Let's be real about that. And it's also within every community. So in the so-called LGBTQ community, racism is still real. There are brothers and sisters who are just like any other brothers and sisters. They ain't got nothing. But there are Caucasians within the homosexual community who are well-financed, who are well-off, you know. So let's keep that real, you know. Mm-hmm. They're able to do this, you know, because they have financial backing and they have many supporters that some of them you would not believe. That's why
we believe all of them, but these same people support eugenics, the same ones who are for sterilization and Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
They want to keep black people. And I'll tell you how racist the white homosexual community is. In Washington, D.C., and in Atlanta, and in Chicago, you have black men dying from septicemia, which is blood poisoning. A lot of that comes from having anal sex, where you get the vascular tissue, the blood tissue, and your rear end tore up because you're having what's called skin abrasive sex. And all kinds of contaminants get into the blood. Sometimes it's fecal matter.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's whatever. That kills people. It is killing people. It is in the top 10 killers of black men here in Washington, D.C. And that black men seem more prone to die from septicemia than any other group of men. Have these white gays done any education to warn? They really don't give a damn.
No.
And so all the black gays listening, they're chumps. The white gays get all the money and all the benefits from this gay windfall, and none of it goes to the black community proportionately. So in D.C., I can tell you, we have a thing called the Office on African American Affairs. When I checked last, they had maybe two employees. You know goodness well that the office that deals with gay affairs has more than two people. They may have 200. Mm. In a city that's 60% black, right?
Right.
You would think something dealing with us would at least have 5-6 employees. You're talking about 200,000-300,000 black people. They had two. Now, you can't tell me that D.C. has, 100 gay people for every black person in the city. That's impossible. But the money and the funding goes there.
Yeah.
And by the way, the black gays and lesbians are chumps. They let the whites walk over them. They get mistreated in their clubs. They get treated as second, third-class citizens. They encounter racism. There is no black gay community. There's only a black community that has people in it who happen to be same-sex attracted. You may have a white gay community, but you don't have a black gay community. And they, if they say that, so wait until they get discriminated on or the new condo goes up that's for all white dudes and they don't let no black person live in there unless there's somebody's side piece. Let's be real. The hatred and the racism and the bigotry, folks who are homosexual aren't less racist than any other group of white people. That's garbage.
It's garbage. I agree.
And black people say that are frauds and they're traitors to their community.
Listen, brother, we're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, we're going to continue this conversation. You can join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're playing music, getting us ready for the Kwanzaa season. This is from Seven Principles by Kwame Cobb and Shavinduka out of Chicago. And this is Umoja.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Must I do to convince you that I'm here to service you? I live in the neighborhood and my ways are just as good. Why don't you come and support me the way you know you should? Can't count on you. What is a small businessman to do?
Economics.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs on the Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 p.m. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, this evening from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC. On Friday, if it's Friday at 8 p.m., it's time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 10 to 12, it's Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And then on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's once again Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. Seeing this particular piece, my good brother, Brother Mwalimu Baruti, wrote a book called Homosexuality and the Effeminization of African Males. Here's a little snippet of it. Since African males are disproportionately concentrated as inmates in prison systems, and since prison systems systematically produce more homosexuals than any other institution in society, then prisons are disproportionately turning heterosexual African males into homosexual ones, no matter the proclamations of rehabilitation in the profit-driven trillion-dollar prison industrial complex. It is the socially defined role of the prison to break African-American male spirit and making them feel comfortable subsisting in a state of naked, disarmed powerlessness. The 200,000 plus reported rapes in prison lingo called breaking and entering that occur in prisons every year attest to this agenda. However, their male counterparts on the outside, most inmate victims and victimizers are not talking. Nevertheless, if African males sustain their fair share of prison rapes, then approximately 125,000 of them occur among our sons, brothers, and fathers behind bars in the first years of this, of so-called 21st century of European empire alone. If everything remained constant, this would add up to, at a minimum, over 600,000 rapes of African males in the prison system during the last decade of the 20th century. And one is too many. The sexual assault of incarcerated African males by other incarcerated African males systematically works to homosexualize and effeminize them. The reason why their sexual abuse is ignored is more than just because society does not care for its bad seeds and believes that whatever they get, they deserve for committing crimes in the first place. Rehabilitating them into individuals who pose no threat to Europeans and their society, who serve it by venting their more devastating frustrations as a would-be male against themselves and other African men, is the goal. That is why absolutely no efforts have been made
to cease this growing human travesty. Many of these victims remain in the prison system and continue this vicious cycle of victimization by turning on new inmates. But most are periodically let loose on their communities to release their festering dementia on others, impressionable and otherwise defenseless African males. Their release is of the equivalent of leaving a child locked up overnight in a candy store. The result is predictable. Yet blame for their aggressions, when addressed, is directed at them as individuals and not the purposeful institutionalized homosexualizing and effeminizationing process and practices intentionally ignored by the state. And since the least aggressive inmates are more likely to be granted early release and or parole, the Western record on genocide should logically lead us to conclude that confused, homosexualized and effeminized males rehabilitated into a new form of perdition are allowed to be manufactured with full intent on unleashing them on our community, on the African community. It is an issue. It is a problem. What did you think? That's a brother, Mwalimu Baruti, Dr. Randy. Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking with brother Randy Short, and talking about the issue of homosexuality, all the perversions within, particularly our community. I don't say within the society itself, because that to me is a given. When you're dealing with Europeans and you understand that history, that is a given. That has happened within European societies almost no matter where, whatever country, So, but that was never an issue with African people. Homosexuality was not an issue in African societies. There was no homosexuality. There is now. There is homosexuality on the continent now. There's all kinds of, there's rape on the continent now. There's all kinds of, because when you have now been afflicted by the Urugu virus, when you've been afflicted by Europeans changing your culture, changing your direct, and more deeply giving you a religion, a European religion tied to them with an image of themselves, you're going to have some serious ass problems. And that's what's happening. What do you think, Doc?
Well, we need to take care of our issue. And if taking care of their issue means legalizing everything, let that be their issue. This is part of the reason why we need to be sovereign of and in controlling of our own community and our own destiny. And if that's how they solve everything, is legalize it and normalize it, then let that be their issue.
I agree.
We really need to be, in the words of the scriptures, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll claim you. Or in the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, do for self. We need to be separate and apart from that stuff. Mm. You could have a fistful of Hershey's chocolate, but if you threw it into some bowel movement, who would want the chocolate, right? Mm. You only wanted to eat it when it's separate. And we're only acceptable to our God, our ancestors, and to those unborn if we're separate from the mess. Mixed in, we're useless to them. Okay? That's where I'm standing. The prisons, these carceral institutions do breed this, but the military has a lot of it. And not just the military, the school system and foster care. And all these things that they're putting our people in. In fact, it's going to sound mean. I believe in God. But you know what? A lot of this foolishness is institutionalized in these churches. I wish it weren't true. I hate it. Mm-hmm. But I'm an honest person. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in the church, and the person who was headed was a pedophile. The first person I ever assaulted was I tried to bite off a hand of a punk preacher that touched me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a friend of mine was I'm from Milwaukee, and they had a choir convention in Milwaukee, and a good friend of mine, she was doing photography, and she came back and told me about the number of homosexuals that she encountered in these choirs. The choir director, the lead singer, I was like, really? Because I'm not naive, but because I'm not in the church, I'm not religious. I'm an African brother who is spiritual. I believe in the spirit of God. I believe in the spirits of our ancestors. I believe in doing for self. And so when she was telling me this, I was like, wow, I didn't know it was that pervasive. And then, of course, this was many years ago. She told me this. And, of course, it came out that it became a serious problem for a lot of churches. And, of course, even those big mega churches, you know, and some of their pastors. I'm gonna get a couple of callers. We got a couple of callers. I'm going to take this caller, okay?
Yes.
D.C. area, D.C. Maryland area. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Okay, maybe just want to listen. 646. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie and Brother Randy. Hey, listen, Randy, I just need to ask you this. Are you saying on these airways that the gay mafia and their members have more control in this country than the black man?
Because we sit down, yes. And in particular, you tell me how you've got every single solitary black that's a Democrat in Congress, with the exception of Marsha Fudge, to come together for this pedocare, pedophile amnesty bill, and they can't do anything for the thousands of people murdered by cops, the thousands of our babies poisoned up in Flint, the thousands of homeless black folks on Skid Row, the thousands of homeless black folks in Louisiana, the missing children. We have a plethora of issues, and these folks have never come together for us, but they can come together for this pedophile bill. You tell me if I'm crazy if I think that they got a lot of power to get all of us to line up, including the NAACP and the other folks. There's a group that Malcolm X warned us about. It used to be called the Leadership Council for Civil Rights. It's now called the Leadership Council for Civil and Human Rights. And every major black denomination, all the fraternities, all of them, your churches, all of these groups, the NAACP, are aligned with the Leadership Council for Civil and Human Rights, and they're 100% for gay rights full tilt, which includes pedophilia, even if they won't admit it.
Oh, Randy, I totally agree with you. I just wanted to be clear. I mean, I know that unfortunately those that are in the Congress, the Black Caucus, are nothing but punks. They're not going to stand up for anything that's pro-African.
They will lie down for everything, including your gay congressman, what's his name? John Lewis. And
are you saying on these airways that John Lewis is a monkey man?
I didn't call him that term, but I'll say this. When I was in John Lewis's house, his wife surely had the attitude that she thought he was messing with me, and they had a fight when I was there in the house. That happened.
Randy, listen. Do not get yourself into a slander.
That's not a slander.
Randy, hold on. I'm trying to help you, brother, because you're a good brother. It is alleged that John Lewis is a touch your toe master, a monkey bird,
I never said that.
Call that man gay if you have no proof that he's gay, Randy. That's not right. No, seriously. Because the thing is, it would get you caught up in some BS that you don't need, allegedly. Use the word allegedly, please, in front
Our alleged congressman's wife and him had a problem because she thought that me being in their house, because I was there to do something for Cynthia McKinney, was inappropriate, and all I did was there for fundraiser. And it was very embarrassing.
So I'm trying to think why they're having an altercation because she looks at me and they pitch a fight in the house. She certainly thought that there was something inappropriate in relationship to him and me. She's deceased. It happened. That's not alleged. I was there. I'm an eyewitness.
Well, you know, when you call him a monkey man, please put in front of it allegedly because you got too much good work that you're doing, alleged, man. And I tell you this, you got to continue doing what you're doing on Facebook because, man, you lay down some information that most people are not saying, that's not presenting, because nobody really knows about this bill that you're talking about. I didn't know anything about this bill, didn't hear anything about it until you presented it to the community. So, you know, you just got to keep on doing the good faith. But please, Randy, you know, don't get yourself caught up in no nonsense with these.
I received the love. I heard you. And right. Yes, this is a deadly bill. It is an awful bill. It is the worst thing that could ever happen to young black people in 400 years. And this would have been.
Let me ask you this right quick. Let me ask you this. I know that you have probably tried to interact with the CBC members. Have any of them replied to your concerns in regards to this bill? Have any of them returned your phone calls, emails?
Let me answer the question. I have a letter that I and many other people are going to sign. We have a meeting tomorrow or Friday. I've already written a letter to the chairwoman of the Congressional Black Caucus, and I may write a letter specifically to John Lewis. And definitely we're going to write Nancy Pelosi because she's the one behind this. And I don't care, but the chips fall where they may. I feel this way. One person can make a difference, but when you deal with something like this, you need a large number of people to speak up and to begin to complain. And there are people that we're talking to and connecting with across the country that are beginning to call people that they know personally and tell them to take their name off the bill. Whether they do or not, believe it or not, people like you and I are doing more for our community than folks who have budgets, they have staffs and organizations. So I have people that are contacting specific members of Congress because they're friends to them. I'm not even trying to call my local person because I know what they pay for that 199.9%. But I'm going to encourage people as I put their numbers out on Facebook and tell folks numbers to call. There is a group called Mass Resistance. They have a chapter in Atlanta. They're working against it. And I'm partnering with them and other groups. We will go after and at my suggestion, I said, let's target the African Americans because they're going to sell out our legacy of struggle to the gays for a mess of pottage. Why would they do that? They should know the most that being your sexual preference is not like your race. It is not like being the descendants of people who sharecropped or were lynched. How could they sign that so blindly other than they willfully did it? They're the one community that should be standing up for our legacy that didn't. So we've agreed the low-hanging fruit and fighting against this bill is going after the black Democrats that supported it because there's so many things our community needs. And if all of them could come together for this, why couldn't they help Flint? When Atlanta had the flood in 2009 and Obama wouldn't give relief money, why didn't they do it? There's so many things that happened to us. Can't they coalesce for something that we really need? Is that expecting too much of elected people to look out for the people?
You know,
I didn't say no for gay people. I didn't say that. I had gay friends and family. I've watched folks die. I've watched people go through stuff. This isn't a hate speech, although it's interpreted that way because they feel if you don't support what they're doing, you hate them, right?
Exactly.
That's like having a child. I remember the one time I had to go to the hospital as a baby, I would not listen to my mother, who kept telling me not to touch a stove. And only after I burnt my hand did I learn sometimes someone restraining me for something is trying to protect me. If I'm warning folks about septicemia and other things, I think people like us have more love for our brothers and sisters caught up than the other people saying, rah, 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 drive that, get this right, drive that car right off the cliff, rah, 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 sleep with everybody. Oh, you're right, it's love is love. The people saying this aren't providing hospice care monies, aren't going to pay for their burial, aren't going to do anything for their children or the survivors. Okay, the very people promoting this do nothing. If we remember what happened with AIDS, all the people that died in our community, there was no help from the white gay community for black folks. They didn't help us. They let people die. But what they have done is created a false narrative that the most homophobic community in America is black. Mm-hmm. And we must be punished for their persecution and injustice, historic injustice. They've literally created a white racism, a gay racism against black people, that it's our fault. Like what's happened in California, when the black people didn't support gay marriage, they've been punishing blacks in California ever since, destroying black people for not going along with that. No one talks about it. None of the black gays say one thing when our communities are targeted by the white power gay system. They turn and look the other way. And yet they're their allies, the same way feminists are black women's allies. And racist white conservatives are coon black conservatives' allies. Or liberal racist bigots are the friends of the black leftists.
Mm-hmm. Check this out.
All I can say is, please, please put the names out there, put the petitions out there, keep up the good fight, because we got to put an end to this pedophile pushing agenda that's going on within our society. And hey, like I said, allegedly homosexuals, monkey men like John Lewis got to fight back. Have a good day.
All right, brother. Thanks. All right, Jay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Appreciate it always, Jay. Let me just say this before I get to another call, because we got a caller hanging. Let me say this. There's a lot of things that happen that Congress is approving. There is no way in hell that those American African or Negro congresspersons should have voted to approve that you can't say nothing against Israel. You can't even talk about boycotting or supporting something that boycotts Israel. Otherwise, you will be fined. And they went along with this. Mm-hmm. And you look at what Israel does to African people, and yet they went along with this. In Israel, even the ones they airlifted back in the 80s and 90s coming out of Ethiopia. And these are the real, if you want to talk about real Jews or real Hebrews, it's them. It ain't these European Ashkenazi Jews. They're the late converts to Judaism who now dominate and control it. And yet they passed this and it went through. And yet now if I say, no, I'm against Israel and I support the boycott of Israel for what it has done. Look what happened to Lamont Hill in his support of the Palestinians at the UN. He's out at CNN. And possibly, maybe, he'll be out at Temple University.
Well, you know, Mark trashed Dr. Frances Cresswell thing right after she died. He said that Malcolm X was gay, and he also trashed Farrakhan recently. I will recuse myself from taking a stand for that brother.
Well, just recently, it was publicized that he would not repudiate Farrakhan, says, how can I do that to a person that is supporting our people? So there that is. You know, it's the same with the sister from the Women's March, you know, and she says she's not going to repudiate because that because the women's march is trying to blow up because the Caucasian leadership, the money leadership, wants the sisters to.
Say who you mean. It's a Zionist person in that group that's mad at her. It's a Zionist people mad at Mark Lamont Hill. And it's the Zionist people that are pushing the Equality Act. It's a Jewish man that introduced it.
Oh, David, is that right? Cicillian.
Oh, okay. he's got an Italian name like de Blasio. De Blasio has an Italian name, but he's Jewish.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he's gay. He's openly gay, all right? That's published, so Brother Jay don't have to call. He's gay. He's the fourth openly gay member of Congress, and he and John Lewis are very tight.
Okay, well, listen, we have another caller, 447. Good afternoon. 447. Okay, we have another caller.
Doctor.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Good afternoon to Brother Ochi and your guest and my friend Randy Shaw. Glad to hear you. You know, I was listening for a while, and I actually thought it was a recording because I know my brother has been on before, and I actually missed that program. So I wasn't sure whether it was a recording or not. It's not until you announced Kwanzaa, I realized, no, it's not a recording. So I decided
that's right.
To phone in. Absolutely. And I'm glad my brother and friend Randy Shaw is here. How are you, my brother Randy Shaw, Dr. Randy Shaw? How are you?
I'm blessed, and I want to tell you, thank you. My brother Orman, I'll be doing a broadcast on January 10th. With Orman Griffin, it's going to be heard over one of the Adventist networks in London. So we're going to be doing broadcasts, taking care of that linkage between blacks in the U.S. and our brothers and sisters across the pond, as they call the Great Ocean. It's nice to hear from you. And brother, I do need to talk to you because, you know, everything that's happening here, they're planning for the U.K. I had a conversation with a British brother, again, Orman Griffin, explaining to him that they were going to make black-on-black violence explode in London. All the killings happening there, police-inspired. It's a white supremacy that's causing so many young black men to get killed. They've gotten into the music, the very things that happen here. So anything that happens to us eventually goes to other black people in the diaspora, and sometimes you have to arm up and fight pedophilia. Fight it before it gets there, because it's on its way.
Well, you know, let me just say this, Brother Randy. You know what's great about this, and I have to put this out there. For those who don't know, and most callers won't know this, but I speak to you, I've spoken to you quite frequently, and I think you're an absolutely exceptionally bright man, very intelligent man, and you're a man who keeps it real as well. You don't pull no punches. You say what you mean, and you mean what you say, and I absolutely appreciate speaking to you in the past, and I've learned a lot from you. And you know, one of the great things is being able to be here in London, and you live in the United States of America, and I was able to make this connection between the both of you. I'm just going to demonstrate here, when we work together on the planet, what we can achieve. It doesn't matter where we are on the planet. We just have to correspond and communicate and empathize with each other and have a little bit of tolerance, and then we can make things happen. We can make anything happen. It doesn't matter where we are, anywhere on the planet. So you have demonstrated, and Brother Ochi has demonstrated, because it takes two. In actual fact, it takes more than two. I can't just be pushing and the other side pushing against me. We've got to find a compromise. Once we find a compromise, things can work. And it's easy. It's not even complicated. It's very easy, just like this communication today. You can tell me, am I wrong, Dr. Randy Shaw? Am I wrong or am I right?
Oh, no, you're on point. Right. You're right, brother. You're right.
Yeah. So, you know, with the power we need to make this thing work is in our own hands. It's not in the hands. Just a small interjection, Dr. Randy Shaw. I've absolutely got rid of the supremacist in my mindset, and I've decided to define my own reality and define them as extremists, because everything they do is extreme. Their behavior is absolutely extreme, mm-hmm. from their perversions to their, you know, control systems to their mentality. It's all extreme. So tying people up in chains, dragging them across the sea, drowning them in the sea, murdering them, shooting at point blank range, all these things are extremes. I'm sorry, I have to call them extremists. That's what I see them as. So therefore, you know, we together have the power in our own hands to define our own reality, and define it we must. You know, so when I hear this conversation, when I listen to my brother, Dr. Randy Shaw, and my brother Oshie speak, I think it's an absolute fantastic day. And trust me, we'll be listening carefully and intensively. And once you get here, and get here you will one day, we can talk on a different method, on a different level.
Well, I definitely plan to do that, Brother Paul, and I really appreciate you listening and calling and giving us your perspective from the other side of the ocean. And it's pretty much the same perspective. The bottom line is Europeans, Caucasians, we're fighting and battling against a system, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. And it is a global phenomenon. And we must, as African men and women, fight hard as we can, because we're really truly fighting for our very lives. We really, definitely appreciate you, Paul. It's 202. Good afternoon. 202-253. Good afternoon. Okay, maybe just want to listen. Okay, that's cool too, because you can do that on this program. That's right. Dr. Randy.
Yes, sir.
You know, with the passage of this bill, which is more than likely going to happen, you know, it's more than likely going to happen, and it's going to be done with the support of
overwhelming support. Yeah. Say almost universal support of Black Democrats in Congress.
Yeah.
And by the way, those same Democrats voted against the criminal justice reform bill that passed yesterday. It's interesting that they could dissent with that. They never came up with the bill to get our brothers and sisters out of jail. They've never done that. Yes, our Dorito-faced president, they can do something right some of the time. It may be for their reason. The states need to save money. It isn't because they love us. But
exactly,
some people are going to be released from those hell holes. Yet there wasn't universal support from the Congressional Black Caucus. In fact, many of them, Maxine Waters, the caveman looking one, Al Green, he looks like the Geico caveman, who went out and got out of a tan. Mr. Alcee Hastings, who's the other one? John Lewis voted against that. He probably likes men being locked up. Or it's alleged he likes men being locked up in jail. John Lewis was against it. There are a range of folks who supposedly are icons of resistance who were against criminal justice reform. And I need to remind people that John Lewis was the water boy for getting that massive crime bill, the omnibus crime bill of 1994 that destroyed millions of lives. John Lewis was Clinton's cheerleader, and so was Maxine Waters.
Yeah.
They voted against the justice reform bill, and folk wonder why I'm so vociferous in my denunciation of them, is that there are things that they could do. They could even say we were wrong, we made a mistake. Even racist Bill Clinton will come back and say he made a mistake. But these coons won't even admit that they did anything wrong, or continue to run around and act as if they're fearless leaders of our community. It is a lie from hell.
Well, especially members of the caucus, because,
and I call them congressional,
you know, congressional Black caucus. Well, you know, because to me, signing, and I know the pressure that these people are under because of their whole idea is not to serve constituents, is not to serve and be that a challenge against this system for our people. No, their whole thing is to get reelected and go along to get along and whatever I have to do.
And get paid. And
yes,
they want us dead too. You have to. If you're silent when the water's poisoned in Baltimore and poisoned in D.C.
and in Milwaukee,
poisoned in Chicago, and poisoned in New York, and it's poisoned down in Mississippi, it's poisoned, all this stuff happened to us, and you never, there's never an initiative that you guys will make. The more of them that get in there, it seems as if the worse our people get.
And see, and to me, that is the issue, and that is the problem of real, authentic African leadership, whether it's in legislature, whether it's in the pulpit or in the religious community or in the community in general. It is to me, the voices that need to be heard will never be heard. And I don't give a damn if I'm not heard. I try my best to be heard, of course, on this radio program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, you know, and that is my contribution to help raise the consciousness of our people. But the reality is a lot of challenges that could be seriously challenged go unchallenged because of weakness, because of capitulation, because people acquiescing to the powers that be.
They're betraying us on purpose. They're fighting for the rights for illegals to come here. They're fighting for housing and food and DACA and scholarships and training for people in the country unlawfully. And they turn their backs on the majority of black poor people here. These people are traitors. The Jews had folks called capos. These were people that helped the folks kill, Jewish sellouts who helped kill Jews for the Nazis. They're on that level. They're on that level. And they also had a group of people like them called Judenstaat, Jewish state. These were the Jewish leaders that the Nazis supported that helped them kill Jews and deport Jews. This is what we have. And we should be hostile and angry with these people. In fact, they shouldn't be able to be stars or celebrities like that sorry Negro who allegedly had hepatitis C, Hank Johnson, the one that got sent to McKinney's seat. He don't belong there. He ain't done nothing. He looks like a fool. Almost all of them look silly. And the little silly one that looks like Muhammad Ali with the sex change, Frederica Wilson down in Florida. I mean, she looks like a fool.
I'm glad
that Kelly said something rude to her. We need to be rude to these people. It shouldn't be left to the racists and the Republicans. The angry black voices should be heard.
You know.
People should be afraid to be in public office because their people demand. You couldn't do this to Jews. Every single solitary Latino is for illegals, even if they don't believe in it, because they can't go back to their community. We're the only people that say, once you get a seat, or once you become a pastor, no matter how awful you are, we're going to just leave you alone and honor you. No, they're our servants, not our Lord and Master.
That's right.
We don't want to follow God, follow the ancestors. Why are we following these coons?
And to me, what needs to happen is those of us who are serious-minded about the liberation, self-determination, and sovereignty of African people come together and look at these people who are supposedly talking for us, who are representing us, and call them out for who and what they are. We need to do that. There was a book that came out in the 90s, the Certified Directory of Uncle Toms. You know, I don't know if you remember that. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well,
oh,
they need
yeah,
edition. In yeah, fact, they exactly. need appendix. They need a whole volume. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
they could do a whole thing on Obama and all the coons that lined up behind that fraud.
I'm gonna tell you, that's what needs to happen. We need that kind of research to happen again. The Certified Directory of Uncle Toms that came out about in the 90s, and it named a number of people. Some of them surprising, you know. But you know what they said is that you can not be in this list by doing the right thing for African people, by you changing your mindset, changing what you do, changing your behavior, changing how you speak out, particularly those who have voice, particularly those who are in Congress or in state legislature or city government, whatever. You must be an advocate for our people, but that is not the case. Hey, man, there are some people who have been in political office for decades. On a local, state, and national level, been in office for how long? How long Maxine Waters been in? And if
she's
that's
been there long enough to get a facelift and a change of heart, okay. Yeah. And I knew. Let me tell you, I knew kindness was in his drawers in his office back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Other people didn't know.
If John Conyers didn't get hung up in that Me Too thing, John Conyers will still be in office today.
And talked about reparations and doing nothing to make that bill move forward.
Exactly.
And see, let me share with you the game they play, because I'm in D.C. They should call it Dookie City because it's so dirty. Okay? What you do is you do just enough so someone like you or I looks crazy to black folks who have really low standards, where you can practically, you could go to Congress and pee on the floor and say, well, he did something in the chamber. I saw it, right? You talk about this HR 40, and you don't do anything. You had decades. You should have been traveling the country. You got a franking privilege. You could have mailed all the activist groups. You could have done something. You're up there, you know, living your quintuple life.
The only thing that Conyers did that I remember was come to the NCOBRA meeting. I'm a member of NCOBRA, which is the National Coalition for Blacks for Reparations in America. And he came to the meeting and talked about the support that he wanted us to give to whoever our legislators were to. Because, see, the bill was not a reparations bill. This was a study. Just a study. This didn't talk about, you know, this was a bill just that couldn't get out of committee. That couldn't get on the floor for a vote, you know. And that's all it was. See, well, in fact, the UN did even better than that, because the UN said that the United States should pay reparations to the African citizens here.
Well, let me share something with you. Even Donald Trump and them around this 2019 have said more. That's crazy. They're saying more about black folks having been held in bondage than the blacks in Congress. Are you kidding me? I mean, with people like, Bannon and people like that. I mean, these are card carrying, hateful, racist people, and they can say something and these folks can't. Let me share something with you. Nancy Pelosi is working on stripping people who are a committee people of their chairmanships, putting term limits in. Now, all of a sudden, she's been head of the party for now, what, 12 years. Only now that some black folks who've been committee chair are going to possibly lose their position. Are they pushing against her being Speaker of the House, just a little bit, because they're going to lose something personally. But nothing happens to us collectively that they really get mad at her about. It was reported to me by Cynthia McKinney that Nancy Pelosi threatened the Congressional Black Caucus, told them do not speak out against what happened with Hurricane Katrina, or they would be punished. The one person that spoke out was Cynthia. Notice Cynthia's not in Congress.
Right.
Notice that you hear Congress talking about Katrina all these years have passed. Nothing's happened. If you notice with Flint, the Republicans were the ones that did the thing on the water. Why wasn't it the Democrats? That's 9,000 kids, mostly black, ruined. Silence.
See, that's why, Dr. Sher, all this talk about voting. You know how important voting is. Voting don't mean a damn thing. When you have corruption, when you have thievery and lying and cheating within the legislative system, and even in the judicial system, every system. In fact, Francis Cress Wellson said, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is in everything they do. It is in every form of people activity. So to me, you know, the system is so corrupt. I don't want to participate. I don't. In fact, I've never voted for a Caucasian in my life. I voted for Barack the first time. You know, I definitely would never have voted for him the second time, you know, and I voted for brothers and sisters on a local level who I felt deserved some support. But I see, because even then, some of those individuals are still in office and ain't done a damn thing. The conditions of our people have deteriorated, but yet they continue to get paid. And some of them get paid very well. You have some people who are in Congress who represent a district that is damn poor, but yet some of them are millionaires. They weren't millionaires when they went in, but they're millionaires now because of graft, because of special interests, you know, and so forth. You know, you look at that ugly ass, Mitch McConnell from Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. The one that looks like Granny from the Beverly Hills Business.
Yep. He do. I said that too. Sorry. But he does. But here's a man who represents one of the poorest states in the country. And yet this man is he's a millionaire. You know, so to me, you know, and I'm really upset because it is Israeli piece. Because there's no way in hell that the Congressional Black Caucus, but I understand the pressure that they have, particularly from the Zionist lobby. They have serious, but I don't give a damn, because to me, what's most important is the lives of our people. The conditions of our people, that to me is much more important than anything. So to give that up and to be silent and to go along to get along with saying something, that if you challenge Israel, if you go along with a boycott or you say something unfavorable, we will punish you. You know? And when you look at what they're doing and what they have done, who was the biggest supporter of South Africa? Israel. Who helped supply South Africa with weaponry? Israel. And yet these folks, like, you know, I think what it is a lot of times, Dr. Short, is a pathological denial of our people, pathological denial of reality and history. And so we go along to get along. And so that's why, from my perspective, brother, we got to get the heck up out of here. This is ridiculous. We can never reform this. This will never change. The income disparity is too damn wide. In fact, that's one thing that even Caucasians rail against. They don't want redistribution of wealth. Because their belief is that because they're Caucasian, that they have that possibility that they would be multimillionaires or billionaires as a part of that 1%. So no, they don't want equality. They never wanted equality. And in fact, the word integration is a misnomer, because integration means I have what I have, you have what you have, we bring it together to make it best. No.
That you can't mix chocolate and doo-doo.
That's a hell of an integration right there, Dr. Short.
Chocolate would do this. Nobody will take that. Nobody.
Nobody. No.
Except for that, like this pedophile deal. Maybe they. Yeah. We can.
Well, listen, brother. We only got a couple of minutes. So, if you got any closing remarks, please go ahead.
Brothers and sisters, you can reach me at wrandyshort@gmail.com. I will send you the information. I will also challenge everyone. Call your congressman, call your pastors, call everybody and tell them to be against this bill. It's a pedophile bill. Everyone can help by calling it pedocare or the pedophile amnesty bill. If enough of us keep calling it what it is, that's what it's going to be known as. We have the power as black folks to brand things, and everyone else will follow. If we can just get this in people's minds that this is a desire to go after, in particular, our precious young children, those that are living and those unborn, I believe we're on the crest of a new movement. Please help. Stand up with your people. Fight back. Push back.
I appreciate it, brother. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate you listening. Be back with us on Friday. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodio. Abibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodio family. Peace.